Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. Thank God for all of you that will log in, those of you who will call in, and those of you who will listen to the broadcast online or listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah, sir. And we thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for just another day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm just thankful for that. I thank God for the service this morning in my church. No, I always talk about my church, but anyway, we had an awesome service. It was a blessing. And so, you know, I don't try to do it no justice. I tell you, go out there to thepowerhouse.org and later on tonight, and you can listen to the rebroadcast, or sometime during the week, listen to the rebroadcast and see all that was said today. It was amazing. So anyway, we're so thankful. Then, you know, we're still talking about trust, so we're building a better relationship. You know, I can't stand this hair on my head, but anyway, hair in my face. But anyway, we're building a better relationship with trust through with God through trust. And so I think, like I said, I think we got three more topics in this series. One is commitment, patience, and I think consistency. Those are our three, and then we're going to do our heart series after that. I think that's what I heard the Lord say. So we're going to do one about the matters of the heart. We're going to do that, and then we'll go on. We got a whole bunch of series. And so I did put one of the prayer ones out there this week, and that played, I think it was on Tuesday when it played. So I'm going to try to keep doing some of that, putting some of the older ones out there so we can kind of revisit what we were talking about. So anyway, I'm thankful to God for everything that he's done. So let's pray. Got a lot of stuff to pray about. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff that happened just today. So anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify and we magnify your holy name. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you tell us if we delight ourselves also in thee, that you would give us the desires of our heart. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless all of the families that have lost loved ones, especially bless the Kobe Bryant's family as they lost him and one of their daughters today in a helicopter crash. And also the other family, it was another parent and another child on that plane as well as the helicopter, the pilot. We ask you to bless all of those families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Such a tragic situation. So, Lord, please comfort them as only you can. God, we're asking you, Lord, to also bless others that have lost loved ones on this week. Lord, it seems like there's so much going on. Like we came into 2020 and things are just still going on and still happening. So life still happens to all of us. So we ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one of us, even one of my, Gerald and Winnie's family, as they're going to take her off of her life support systems on tomorrow. So we ask you to bless the family as well, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to keep and comfort as only you can. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify and we magnify your holy name because you are worthy and we trust that we know that you are in control. And so we're so thankful for that. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless our pastors and their families, their wives and children, oh God, all over this land and country. Bless every apostle, every pastor, every teacher, every evangelist, Lord Jesus, and every apostle in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless, Father, those that poured out this morning, the gospel that you gave them to teach and to preach this morning. We ask you, Lord, to pour back into them and replenish them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless all of those that are on this call today, on this line, Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless them and bless their families. Only you know what they stand in need of, oh God. So we plead the blood of Jesus over the lives of your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. And bless this country. Bless the leadership of this country, Lord Jesus. Lord, the President, the House of Representatives, Lord, the Senate. God, you know what needs to be done, and you know what's going to be done. You know the end from the beginning. So, Lord, we thank you. And so we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to bless our soldiers, God, those that have been sent to Iraq and over in Iran. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless them. And, God, I always pray that you give them spiritual discernment, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. They'd be able to discern the enemy around about them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. They won't be sabotaged, Lord Jesus. They won't be overtaken, oh God, but you will let them know. Bless those that are in leadership, of the soul of those men and women, oh God. We ask you to bless them as well, Lord. Give them keen spiritual discernment, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we ask you to bless all those in the hospitals all over this land and country, Father, in the name of Jesus. Some of the doctors have given up. They said they can't do nothing else. But, Lord, we know that you're a doctor that has never lost a case. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to go into those hospital rooms and begin to bless and touch the people as only you can. Lord, some of them still don't even know you, Lord. Save such as should be saved, oh God. Let them know who you are, that they will not leave this earth without giving their life unto thee. So, Lord, we ask you to bless, oh God. Lord, in all of these murders and these killings and these young people doing all kind of stuff, Lord, there's so many young people that they're looking for in murder cases and all of these different things over in the Metroplex area, and I'm quite sure in all across America. We ask you, Lord, to touch, Lord, as only you can. Bless these children, Lord, as they go to school, Lord, that they won't go to school for mischief, but they'll go to school with a mind to learn. Bless every teacher, every administrator, Lord Jesus, every cafeteria personnel, every custodian, oh God, every bus driver, every bus attendant, God, Lord, every hall monitor, Lord, every counselor, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over the lives of children everywhere, Lord, that they will have a mind to learn. We rebuke senseless killings. We rebuke these mass killings. We rebuke it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Get into the minds of the people that are trying to develop this mischief. And we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Cover everybody over under the sound of my voice with your blood. As we move forward in Jesus' name, we pray amen and amen. So, it's just been a lot of things going on today. And so we just kind of, just going to keep being prayerful of the families that lost their loved ones even on today. And those are soldiers that are over in other countries in harm's way. And I always, too, want to pray. And I do that at the end again. Pray for our police officers and our firemen and, of course, first responders to things. I was thinking about that on the way to work. There was so many accidents that day. I think that was the second one I had passed. And I said, and I just thought came to my mind about how that, that the paramedics and the firemen and even the police officers, how they go to some, they're on the scene of these accidents. And then sometimes the people die. They die from the accident as a result of the accident and some of the things that they see. So I just began to pray for their minds and for their comfort and their peace and that they will be able to sleep at night from some of the stuff that they see. I don't think I'd ever thought about that from that perspective, but, they see a lot. And so we just ask the Lord to bless them and keep them too as well. So anyway, we're talking about trust. And so I was reading, and as I was studying this week, I just began a very well-known passage of scripture. The Lord told me to talk about this today, so that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, of course, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in which it says, trust in the Lord. King James Version says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thine ways, acknowledge him. And so, or he will direct thy path. Acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. I'm sorry, he shall direct thy path. So let me read it again so I won't stumble over. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And so I thought about it. I read it down here in, I think it's the New Living Translation. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. But it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. But when I was thinking about that verse, I noted that that particular verse has three commands and one blessing in it. And so, of course, the commands are trust in the Lord. That's the first command, trust in the Lord. And then it's the next command, it says, and lean not to thine own understanding. That's another command God has given us within that particular scripture. And then the third one is, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So that's the next command. And then, of course, the blessing is, and he shall. It means God shall. And I'm going to say it like that. God shall direct thy path. And so we thank God for that. And I just begin to think about that particular passage of scripture and what all that entails. Because really, in our decisions and in everything we do, if we would just trust that to the Lord. And I know sometimes we seem like, you know, we trust people and then people disappoint us and things like that. And so then we begin to trust our own thoughts and our own decisions. But God is still in control, and God does want us to trust in him and not in our own way. It says lean not to our own understanding, but in our, you know, but to trust in the Lord. And so that's what we're trying. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. God is trustworthy. You know, he stayed, I'm going to move this thing over. I had all this Bible, this big old Bible. Ooh, it takes up so much space. I think I moved this over here because I think the light is different here. And so we can get that going. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a little better. So what we're saying is that because of Lord El Timberlake, you're on the line. So anyway, but I thank God because, you know, when we talk about trusting in him, we got to trust God even in our decisions. So God has kind of given us a blueprint for how to get out, how to make better, have better decisions. And I told myself this year, I said, Lord, please bless me to make good decisions. Bless my decisions to be those that are directed by you so that I will not, you know, we don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. And so we're in a different decade. We're starting out a different decade. And even today when my pastor was telling us, he said, Bishop Tolles, he said, just reflect back on the last 10 years. Or either I was listening to the rebroadcast of the New Year's Eve service. It was the New Year's Eve service, the rebroadcast. And so he said, reflect back on, you know, what the last decade. And when I began to really look back on all the things that went on, it was a rough decade for me. It was really a lot going on, and I'm quite sure it was for many people. But when I begin to think about it, I begin to think about the growth and how the Lord showed me a lot of things and some of the things God revealed to me about myself even, and about how to trust him more, how to depend on him more, and, you know, just some of bringing things into alignment with what God has for me. I begin to bring things into alignment. We've got to begin to, when before, you know, we sometimes get a thought in our mind and we just go and we get to moving, and sometimes we don't want, but we got to wait on God. We have to begin to ask God. God gave us a blueprint. He said, "For if you want to make better decisions this year, well, then here's a way that you can do that, by trusting in the Lord completely." This is a Passion Translation. It says, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinion. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you." And so he will guide us in the decisions that we need to make. We don't have to go out here and just start doing stuff on our own and doing stuff alone and trusting in ourselves. Because if you think about a relationship, trust is relational. And so that's the one thing it is relational. So we know that to trust in God, we're trusting in God because So when we have faith in God, we're having faith in God, and we don't have no we don't have no support for it. It's that we have faith in God. We're going to believe God, and we're going to have faith in him. But when you trust God, that means you have some remembrance of some things that he's already done. And so, therefore, you trust him that he's got it all in control, that whatever's going on, first of all, it's all working for your good. And then the next thing is that he has got the whole, everything concerning this matter in control. And so we trust him for that. So we know that trust is relational, because if you think about the trust between a husband and a wife, you know, the trust is that you know that person's going to keep their word. You know that person is going to, that they love you, and that they are faithful, and that they are, you know something about that person. And so that's why you begin to develop a trust relationship with them, is because you know something about them. Well, it's the same thing with God. We know something about God. We know what God has done. Even if you feel like he ain't done nothing for you, you still can see it in the word of God, all the things that God has done, what he's done for other people around you. And so, therefore, you build a trust relationship in God so that you can begin, so that you know, I know what God's going to do. If I don't know nothing else, God got me. That's the one thing I do know. If nobody else ever comes to my rescue, God has done so many things for me that I don't have to not think that he's not still in control. Even if I don't see it going in the way I think it should go, or it don't look like what I think it should look like, God is still in control. He is. He's got me. I know that he's going to work it out one way or another. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, the things I do. This is the thing. Trust, when we trust in God, God expects us to be obedient. That's the one thing he expects out of us, is for us to be obedient. So our obedience to God helps God to trust us. Because trust is both ways. Trust, we trust God, God trusts us, but he can't trust us if we're not obedient and if we're not consistent in following him. That was the problem with Israel and them all the time. They kept flip-flopping back and forth to being trusting God when they were in trouble, and then as soon as they got out of the trouble, they went back to being to doing their normal stuff, going after other gods and all that kind of stuff. And so those are some of the things that they kept doing. And so we can't be like that. We since that is an example for us, we got to try to do differently. When we get in trouble, instead of murmuring and complaining, we ought to begin to give God the glory and begin to praise God, because what we do know is that praise is a weapon for us. Trust and worship is a good place to be in, to bring God in and get in his presence. And in the presence of God, there's a whole lot of things that can go on. And so since we know that, then that's why we trust him and we acknowledge him. This scripture is saying so much to us. Trust in the Lord. I mean that we have confidence in him, that we believe believe in him. We have confidence in him, and we trust that whatever the situation is we're going through, God is working it out on our behalf. Does anybody have anything to say on the line? Okay, I'm gonna keep on going. And so those are some of the things that we know about trusting the Lord. But one thing is, it's a strategy. You know, it's a strategy for effective living. Just this verse right here, Proverbs 3:5-6, is a strategy for us for effective living. First of all, it begins with God's wisdom, so we know that. And respecting and appreciating who God is, reverencing and all toward God requires moral application. It requires trusting in God and his word, allowing his word to speak to us personally, and being willing to obey. The Bible tells in Isaiah 1:19, says if we be obedient, willing and obedient, it says we will eat the good of the land. If we be willing and obedient, that obedience to God is important to him, because what that says to him is that, you know, we believe that God, what you're telling us to do is the right thing to do. And so we are willing to be obedient. And then it also requires practical application, acting on God's direction daily. What we hear God say to us daily, we begin to do. And sometimes we can't hear that because we don't want to cry out to God. The Bible says this poor man cried, God heard him and then delivered him out of all his troubles. And so we got to remember that when we begin to cry out to the Lord, and because when we cry out to the Lord, we're allowing God to, we're telling God, God, I can't do this without you. I don't even know what to do. And so when we begin to cry out to the Lord, we are petitioning him and asking him, Lord, send the deliverance our way. Send deliverance our way. I tell you, during the consecration, I learned a bunch about myself. First of all, I got to do better with being committed myself and to being consistent with things. And so I learned a whole lot. You know, God will start revealing stuff, so then you got to begin to align yourself with what he has said and begin to seek his word for ways for you to be able to deal with that and ask God for deliverance. I just began to ask God for deliverance. I said, Lord, well, you know what? I need some deliverance here on this situation. I need some strength in this situation to be able to do what you are saying for me to do, and not being, I'm going to do it today, but then tomorrow I'm not doing it. No, we can't do like that. We got to be consistent. When God tells us to do something, we got to be consistent in doing that very thing that he told us. We got to begin to put God first. Even in this scripture, when it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all our ways, when we acknowledge God, we are putting God first. We're saying, God, I'm going to come to you first before I make a move on in any direction about anything I'm getting ready to do or going through. Let me ask God, is this what I should be doing so that I can be found in the right place with him? And then, because, you know, we can say that, You know, what we have to do is stop depending on ourselves. You know, when we have trust issues with people, sometimes we don't want to depend on anybody. We want to depend on ourselves. But God is telling us, no, you got to depend on me. I'm here. That's what he's saying. I'm here. Acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So sometimes you might be going, trying to go west, and he wants you to go east. But if we would have acknowledged him, he would have told us to follow the path to east and not to, for us to put our feet in the direction to go west. And so these are some of the things that we got to realize when we're talking about trust. Trust is relational. It is a relationship thing. And so when you trust in people, it's because you have a relationship with them. You're just not going to trust in somebody, you're just not going to trust in somebody you just met. You don't know them. So having a relationship of trust in God, I just said something, is saying that I know God. And how do I get to know him? In my prayer time, in my meditation time, in my study time, I get to know God. And so from that, then you know who he is, you know what he'll do, and so you can be confident and comfortable and content in knowing that God is taking care of the things that he's taking care of. Does anybody have anything to say on the line? All right, I'm going to keep on going. And so then when we cry out to the Lord, we're surrendering to God. We're surrendering to God when we begin to cry out. Now, you know, when I talk about Israel, I talk about them all the time because, you know, they're just such a good example for so many things. But when Israel was in Egypt and they had been in bondage for those 400 years, they began to cry out unto the Lord about the bondage that they were in. God began to, he heard them. God begins with our lips and our thoughts. When we begin to cry out to him, some of y'all been going through something for a long time. Have you cried out to the Lord or have you fussed at the Lord? Those two different things. We got to make a determination that we're going to cry out to the Lord and not fuss by murmuring and complaining. So that's what we got to do. We don't want to murmur and complain to God. We want to cry out to him. And that cry that he hears, there's a sound that you can make that will get God's attention. And so with our lips and with our thoughts, and so when we need more than a commitment to depend on him, we need to cry out to him to show him that about it, show him how dependent we are on him, because we are dependent upon God. We are dependent upon God. And so we depend on him to direct our path. We depend on him to bring us out of circumstances and situations. We depend on him in a time of grief to comfort us. We depend on him in a time of lack to be our need supplier, to be our provider. We do. When we're sick, we depend on him to be our healer. So, but our cries out to him, Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, sustain me. Lord, keep me. Those cries out to him are those things that cause or get his attention. Because what we're doing is we're acknowledging him that he will make our path straight, that he will show us the way to go and the straight way to go. Does anybody have anything they want to say? When we pray, we admit that his ways are higher than our ways, and so we take everything to God in prayer. It was a song that said, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs he bears. What a privilege it is to take everything to God in prayer. So we got to make sure we take everything to God in prayer. Nothing is too minute, too insignificant for us not to take to God in prayer. That's our own thoughts. God said bring it to him in prayer. He said in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So we are bringing these things to God in prayer. So when we do that, he hears us. And then he begins, because when he heard Israel cry, then he began to put in place their deliverance from that slavery and from that bondage. He began to put in place. Moses was on the backside of the mountain, but God began to move in that with Moses. He began to move with Moses through the burning bush, and when Moses saw it, but Moses had been on the backside of the mountain working some things out in himself. God had begun to work, not him working it out, but God began to work some things out in Moses. So he started out in the palace because he was in Pharaoh's house because he was a son of Pharaoh's sister, and then because of that, that's how he ended up being in the place he was. He was. was in there. And then from there, when he found out that he really wasn't Pharaoh's son, he found out he was a Hebrew as well. So then he went. He no longer wanted to be in Pharaoh's house. He wanted to be amongst his people. And then that's when he got in some trouble, you know, when he saw the men fighting. And so then and the Egyptian treating some of his brothers wrong, and then he killed the Egyptian. And then when they started talking about it, that's when he fled. So anyway, those are some of the things there. But still, God was working in him and through him even in that situation. And then the next thing, so we crying out to God. First, I told you that we can't depend on ourselves. We got to stop depending on ourselves and start depending on God. And then we cry out to the Lord, because that's us surrendering to God and let him know how dependent we are on him. And so that's one of the things. And then the next thing we do is we run from evil. And so much of this world is cluttered with so many things, and can clutter up our relationship with God even, if we allow those distractions to come into our life and really get our focus off of God. Then it clutters our relationship with him. Same thing they were doing in Israel. You know, every time, you know, when God told them, when God took them and they finally went into the promised land, he gave them specific instructions about the people that were in the land. But, of course, they didn't follow that, and they started intermingling with them. And because of that, that's when they went back into idol worship. If we know, every time Israel went into idol worship, it was because they started to mingle with the people in the land that they were not supposed to mingle with, because it got them distracted. Same thing with us. We got so many vehicles now to intermingle with the world because we got social media, because we got, you know, all these different various things. We got Twitter, Facebook, you know, Tumblr, you know, Snapchat, all these big different vehicles. And so because of that, a lot of times we get distracted by the things that are happening, and then we get our focus off of God. But we got to keep our focus on him. If you keep your focus on him, then you can stay in perfect peace. You can stay in a good place. But sometimes that's easier said than done. Even now, you know, when we get up in the morning, I get up early to pray. But sometimes if I take that phone with me, I get distracted. So, I was taking it with me because I got worship music on and those kind of things. But I said, no, I'm going to leave that phone in the bedroom, because if I bring it in here, then you get distracted easily by what may be going on. Some stuff is popping up on your phone. You know, you're getting, you know, news break on your phone. You're getting, you know, YouTube stuff is coming up on your phone, or somebody's doing something on Facebook. You know, all of these distractions. And so we have to keep our mind from being cluttered, because then it clutters our relationship with God. And that's the one person you don't want your relationship cluttered with him. You know, John told us in the gospel, it says, let me see if I got it on here. This is 1 John 2:16. In other words, our blessing can easily become our stumbling block when we think of them as what we deserve and not what we need to be happy. And so we shouldn't think we deserve anything, because anything we get is not ours anyway. We're just stewards over it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that, you know, we have ownership, but we are stewards. God has allowed us to be stewards over things. And so we got to remember that in our stewardship, that we don't allow those things to become more than what we think about God. We can't do that, because then they become idols to us, and we don't want that for anything. Not your house, not your home, you know, not none of these things, not your job. Because if you think about any of that, the job is a source that God gave you. It wasn't something that, you know, you just, you know, I'm going to move this over here a little further when I look away, I'm looking for. But anyway, so those are just some of the things. And then one of the other things we need to do is we need to put God first in your life. Put God first. You know, they got a challenge coming up in the 1st of February. I think it's Pastor Sarah, my boy, she was saying, we're going to do a word fast. But we're going to get up, and the first thing we're going to do is eat the word of God before we eat anything else. And I think, you know, that's something I've just done for years of my life. I get up, and I meditate on the word, and I pray. I try to put the word of God in my mind first. I used to joke with them when I worked. They said, why you get up so early? I said, I got to get up early and get the Lord going and get my word from the Lord and get to praying so I can come up in here and deal with y'all. That's what I used to tell them. I used to tell them. We used to get so sick about that. But about how, you know, all of that began for me. You know, when my mom was real sick, when I got out of high school, my mother was really, she got really sick. And so she had got sick to the point that she was, you know, she became paralyzed somewhat in her lower extremities. And so because of that, you know, I ended up being a caretaker at a very early age. And so, and then after that, her sister, my aunt, Florine, she had a stroke. And so then she was in the nursing home. And so then my mother brought her to live with us as well. And then that stroke left her blind in one eye. And then kind of the usage of one side was diminished severely. And so I had both of them there. And what happened was I began to get up early. So I would get up at 5 o'clock, about 6 o'clock, they were going to start calling my name. And so by 5 o'clock, I would get up and I would begin to meditate on the Word of God and begin to pray. And that's kind of what started. So I was about 18. I was 18 at the time. That's what started that prayer life for me. I began to do that because if I would not have got to God or had got the Word in me and prayed, I just really, really don't know how I would have made it, because it was a big undertaking when you think about somebody being 18 and having that type of responsibility to take care of two adults. And so it was a big responsibility, but thanks be to God for how he got me through it. And then the Lord would send people to help me. This is the good thing about, you know, neighbors were still neighbors back then. You knew who they were. And so, you know, I had older neighbors, and they would come. And, you know, my mother had a senior companion, I think she had, and then they had nurses that came three times a week, and then they had somebody to come and bathe them three times a week as well. And so I had that type of help. And then she had a senior companion that came twice a week, and she would come and sit with them. And then, of course, some of the neighbors would come and sit with them while I went to work. And so because I worked and went to school at the same time, and so while all that was going on, those are some of the things going on. And then some of the brothers from the church, you know, I've had very good male friendships. And so they would come, and they would do things nice to me, because then one time I got sick and had surgery during that process, and one of the brothers came. And he would come, and he had his girlfriend fix the food, fix us something to eat, and then he would come and make sure we all got in the bed and done things like that. So very helpful. They were very helpful to me, and I thank God for them and all they did. And I had one of them that, you know, I would go to work. They would take me to work, and then they'd go double back and get my mom and them taken to their doctor's appointments and things like that. So it was such a blessing for me, and I really thank God for each of them. Over the years that did those things, so that was such a blessing to me. And then the neighbors, that were such a blessing to me, because that was a rough experience. And so when you're at that age and you're just really trying to figure out who you are and what direction you're going, and I wanted to go away to college, I wanted to go to Howard University, I wanted to go there, and so I wanted to do that, but I didn't get the opportunity to because of what, you know, happened. But nevertheless, the Lord blessed me to get through school and all those kind of things and graduate. And so I'm so thankful for that, because it was the Lord's doing. It was not because, you know, it was just the Lord's doing. Then we had Sheba, the dog, who, you know, she was a little off. She was a cockapoo. She was part a poodle. And she was a handful, I'm telling you. So it was a lot. Because when the storms come, she was just so spazzed out. She was even there acting crazy. But anyway, the Lord, when I said all that to say, I was trying to tell my story, but I was saying all that to say that that's when a prayer life and that meditation on the Word began for me, and I began to seek the Lord about things and begin to do that. And the one thing in this Proverbs scripture, when we're talking about trusting the Lord, and then it kind of mirrors what Jesus said about over there in Matthew 6 and 33 when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you." And so because if you think about, and so what that's saying is for what we need to do first in anything we do is seek the Lord. We need to seek his kingdom of God, and then the rest of this stuff will come. But if we seek God first, that's what he wants us to do, seek him first. And then the next thing is seeking him first and then putting God first in your life. Make sure he is the first, he's put first in your life. It is easy to put ourselves first. You know, we easy to be kind of self-centric, you know, a me-centric person, but we have to put God first. And if we do that, then everything else will begin to fall into line. So when something good happens, we want to congratulate ourselves. We want to reward ourselves, but we got to remember who did it. and begin to give God the glory for the things that he has done and for all the things that he blesses us with. Does anybody have anything they want to say on the line? Everybody quiet today. So anyway, we're going to keep on going. And so we want to make sure we put God first. So that's the fourth thing I said. And then, and honor the Lord with your, honor the Lord with your substance, with your wealth and everything. Because, a lot of times, well, I don't want to give to, I don't want to be giving to no man. But it ain't you giving to the man. It's you giving to what God's purpose. He said, bring ye all the tithes and offer them to the storehouse. And said, then he'll open up the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to see. Don't stop your blessing because of, little silly stuff that we think we shouldn't do or we should do. I try to make sure. It's funny, a lot of times I don't have my tithes on Sunday because I pay them when I get paid. I get paid on Tuesday, so I usually pay my tithes right then so that I won't, get it on out of my hand so I can move on. And so that's just what I do. I've decided to do that, and I feel like when I do that, I'm putting God first. I said, let me pay my tithes, then I pay my offering on Sunday. But anyway, let me pay my tithes first. So then I feel like I've honored God first with the substance or with the increase that he allowed me to get because it's God that has blessed me and that he has allowed me to get. I began to get my W-2s in, and I was just looking at how much I made from the various places, and I'm so thankful that the Lord opened up this opportunity for me over at UNT, and so I'm over there, and I thank God for that because I'm telling you, when I looked at them W-2s, I thought, geez, I don't know how I was making it, but the Lord was doing it. It had nothing to do with me. It was the Lord that was keeping me and the Lord that was blessing me because I'm telling you, when I look at them W-2s and what I got for the year for that, I don't even think it came up to, if it came up to $6,000, if it came up to that. So anyway, so that's why I know that the Lord has done great things for me. When I started looking back, when he told us to look back over our life, I started thinking about all that stuff, and I thought about how good God was to me, how I still got a roof over my head, and how I got transportation and all of those kind of things. And the Lord knew. He blessed me with that little new car. I'd be just flying, shooting on through there. And I'm saying the Lord will keep you, and he will keep you, and he will bless you. So you got to trust in him, but acknowledge him first. If you got something that's on your mind and you want to do, go to God about it. Go to God about it and begin to petition him about it. Begin to cry out to him so you can get an answer. And then look for the answer in the Word of God as you begin to read the Word of God. Sometimes he reveals it to us that way. Sometimes he'll speak to us. And sometimes, but be open to listen to God for God's voice so that you can hear him when you're asking him for stuff so you can be able to hear him in those things. Anybody else got anything they want to say? Okay, moving on. So then the next thing is you got to check yourself by God's word. So that's what I was saying when we were going through the consecration, that I just began, the Lord began to show me some things about myself. And I said, oh, my God, so I began to check myself or try to get myself in an alignment with what the word of God is saying so that I can be in the right place when it came to that. I said, because sometimes we don't even know we done got a little off. But we do, and I just, the struggle I had, I think, during the consecration is what it was. But I said, why is this a fight every January? This is a fight we got to go through. I got to go through. I don't know about everybody else, but I know what I go through about it. And so I just said, Lord, have mercy. I said, I got to work on my commitment. That's what I told myself. I said, commitment. And I said, I used to joke about this, when it came to, relationships and stuff like that, and I used to joke about it, but I thought about it, well, maybe that's the problem. I said, maybe I got commitment issues. You know what I'm saying? When it gets to a point where you got to be committed to something, and you're like, I don't know. You be trying to back out of it. So I don't know if that's something, but anyway, I'm going to work on it. That's what I do know. And I asked God for some help in some areas and some situations. I said, Lord, oh, my God. And so anyway, and it wasn't nothing like I was doing somebody, got murdering somebody. It's just things that I want to change. And I want God to help me with so that I can make the changes I need to make. So those are some of the things we got to think about when we check ourselves by God's word. When we see that something's a little off from his word, are we willing to make some adjustments to align ourselves so that we can be in alignment with his word? That's another part of trusting him, that we trust God enough that we are willing to align ourselves with God so that we can be in his will and in his way. And so then the next thing is we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go that the Comforter may come. So we thank God for him sending the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to the church, he told the disciples that the Counselor was coming, and that the Counselor, he was like our spiritual GPS. He's like, you know, that he would show us the directions to go, and he would lead us and guide us and bring us into all truth and protect us and all of those things. And so that's what it is. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. This is what John 14:26 says. Teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit comes to remind us of things that God has already said to us and Jesus has already said to us, and that we can be able to stay in alignment with what God has already said and done, so we can be in alignment with him. So that's some of the things the Holy Spirit does. But we just gotta make sure that we are trusting in God. And then one of the last things, points I came, it was rest in God's love. We have to, when we face difficult times in the world and every day and different difficult things are going on, we must rest in God's love, because he loves us. He loved us enough to send Jesus to the cross on our behalf. And so we got to do that. When our money's funny, we got to trust God. When, you know, when anything that comes up, we got to trust God, because the Lord God, he loves us, and he's there, and he wants us to be, he wants to give us his best, the best, because that's what he's promised. We are the seed of Abraham, Abraham's seed, and so we know we got promises that God has promised us. Just like in the verse when I told you it was three commands and a blessing, the blessing was that he will direct our path. And so we got to remember that God said he will direct our path, and if he directs our path, we're going in the right direction. That's for sure. That's the one thing we do know. And where's my time? I only got about 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So those are some of the things I wanted to talk about when it came to trust today. Trusting in God. And, you know, like I think El Timberlake said this last week, you know, when you trust the Lord, you really are humbling yourself. You're acting, it's an act of humility to trust God, because what you're saying is, God, I'm relinquishing my power, my strength, and I am coming in alignment with what you're saying. And so that is a way of us humbling ourselves, and if we want to be in the right place with God. There were so many examples given in the Bible about, you know, men that went to God in prayer, and they were obedient. It talked about Abraham in Genesis when, and this is a different story, because what this was in the 24th chapter of Genesis, it's Abraham's getting older, and so he wants Isaac to get a wife. And so he told Eliezer, his servant, he said, now, you know, he was saying it kind of like, well, you know, if I die and Isaac still is not married, make sure he does not marry the women in that area, that these women, but you go to my brother's house, my father's house, and get him a wife from there. So he actually did send Eliezer to go do that. And what I think the point I'm trying to bring out in this is that they cried out to the Lord, they prayed to God about these things, and because they prayed to God about it, God made their path straight. Because Eliezer, he asked the Lord, he said, now I don't want to disappoint my servant, my master Abraham. He said, so let some things happen that I know that you have made a way in the path that I'm taking. So he asked the Lord that when he got down there, when he had got down there to the water trough, he said that when they come out into the water, if I ask them for a drink, then let them give me a drink, and then let them say that I will water put enough water down for your camel as well. And so, and that's exactly where it happened. And so he knew that God had made his path straight. And so he knew that this young lady that came was the one. She was the one for Isaac. And so that's what I'm saying. If we ask God, that's a petition, but it wasn't a petition where they were getting ready to be hurt or anything like that. But it was he wanted to make sure that the woman he brought back, that was the one that was for Isaac. And so what I'm saying is that if we trust God enough, we can cry out to the Lord about the things, or we can bring our petitions to God. And God said, I will direct your path. So he directed Eleazar's path. He asked him for specific things and for specific things to happen so that he knew that he was on the right path. And because God brought those things to pass, he knew that he was in the right place. And then he asked him, he said, well, do you have some place where I can stay overnight? And she said, oh, yeah, we got plenty of places. And so he went, he took the ring out, the gold out, and then, of course, he blessed her father's house as well. And then her father asked him, said, well, will you go with him? And Rebecca said, yeah. And you remember when Rebecca, this is Genesis 24, 25th chapter, when she was on her way, she saw Isaac afar off, she kind of covered her face up, but she lighted off that camel. So she didn't come empty-handed. She came with some camels and stuff. She came empty-handed. So that's why when we're asking God for those that are still believing, because I'm still believing myself, believing God to send you a husband, then you know you got to bring something to the table too. You just can't be going all in thinking he's going to be doing everything. She came with something to offer. She had something to offer. And so many times I hear people say, well, you know, he's got this and he's got this and he's got that and he's got that. And I do a little comedy on the side. So I would tell him, I said, yeah, he got a Porsche, he got a house, he got all this thing, but he got bills, so he can't pay yours. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that ain't the goal. But anyway, but we got to do that. And then, of course, Jephthah was another example. Of course, he was one of the judges of Israel. And so, but he had been, his father had been with a prostitute, and that's how he came about. So the other brothers told Jephthah that he didn't have no right to their father's, to any of the inheritance in their father's house and things like that. But then when it came up, when the Ammonites came up against Israel, Jephthah was really, you know, a strong leader. And so they went and got him. Now, these are the same ones that told him that you don't have no right to nothing in our father's house because your mother was a prostitute. But when it came time to come up again in the battle, then you went and got him because you knew he was a strong warrior, a strong leader. Isn't it something how people will forget how they done treated you like nothing when they need you? And here they came and got him. And he brought that up to him, too. But anyway, he petitioned God, and God blessed him in the battle because the Ammonites and the Moabites was trying to tell them, well, you know, Israel had treated us wrong. No, they hadn't. They had done wrong by Israel, and they told them they couldn't pass through the land and all those kind of things. Now, you know, these was descendants of Lot. That's who they were. And so, you know, that's another topic I was going to think about, but I'm thinking about that for something else. I won't talk about that today. But anyway, is there anybody else that has anything they would like to say on the line? But we just want you to remember. Let me stop. Go ahead. Yes.
I was looking at Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times. Mm-hmm. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So that goes along with what you were saying, that we need to trust God, but we need to trust him at all times. That means in all things. When you were saying cast all your cares on him,
mm-hmm.
We need to trust God. And while you were talking, I just thought about Job and all that he went through because he was upright, living upright, according to the scripture. But things happened in his life. And he said, though God slay me, yet, well, I trust him. We've got to get to the point that whatever we're going through, whatever is facing us, whatever challenges have coming our way, that we get that yet will I trust him. The storms may be coming, the wind is blowing, but I trust God. Because he knows the way that I take, and when we have been tried, we shall come forth as pure gold if we stay on target and stay on task and trust him. And not lean to our own understanding. As I said last week, when we lean to our own understanding, we begin to operate in pride because we have removed God from being the one in charge to being in charge ourselves. So we have to be careful, especially those of us of the household of faith that are believers, because that's how the enemy will get us off track and get us so distracted about what we're going through. And it looks like God might not be working in our path, on our behalf. But if we trust him and come up with that tenacity that Job was able to come up with when all hell was breaking loose and everything, he had a lot of good stuff, but But when he started losing stuff and losing family, and I know that had to be painful, but he's and friends giving, not encouraging him, but trying to make it his fault. But it's, though God slay me, yet
yes.
will I. We've got to tell God, God, though these trials are hard to my flesh, and I don't
yes.
understand why they come in my way, as Elder Bryce, as you just said, sometimes when we examine ourselves, sometimes we're not where we're supposed to be, and God has been trying to get our attention, so we held up his hand because he can't bless us the way he wants us to because we're not ready to receive it yet. So once we get in position and doing all we can and trusting God, we're still going to have challenges just like Job did. But we got to have the tenacity and the forward all to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord and to trust him. That though it cost my life, I trust you. Because when it's all said and done, it's only what we do for Christ. That's the most important thing is we have to get our priorities straight. We know we're in this world, and we live in this world, and, yes, we want to take care of our worldly things. But we do not or should not allow our worldly things to become our priority over God. Knowing that he sees all that we're going through, he knows all our secrets, and if something is coming our way, we have to know that if we've talked about it before. It's either God ordained or God allowed. So if he's allowed it, he's either trying to bring something out of us because he trusts us enough to know that we can come through it. He trusted Job would not turn on him. Job had that kind of relationship with him, as you talked about building that rapport. So he didn't build a rapport by vacillating, going backwards and forth. So we've got to get ourselves on solid foundation so we can stand. So when the wind comes, we won't get uprooted, that we can stand, even though our faith might get weakened, but the trust that we have in God will help us to hold on, even when we feel like we're about to fail. That's all I had to say.
That was a whole bunch. That was a blessing. But that is so true. We have got to keep our we got to. We can't depend on ourselves. We have to depend on God. Because when we just start depending on our own ability, that's why she said we're coming into pride. We're not in humility. Humility says, I'm trusting in the Lord. I can't even do this myself. I can't do it on my own. I need God's direction. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to give us the direction. So we got to humble ourselves to come up under that direction. And so I'm telling you, this trust thing is something, it's relational. And when you trust God, you're telling him, I'm in relationship with you.
Yeah.
That's what you're really saying. I'm obedient, I'm in relationship with God, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
When you bring everything to him, when you take everything to him, you're saying, God, I trust you. I can't make the decision on my own, but I trust you. Just like Solomon. When God asked him what he wanted, he said, I want wisdom.
Yeah.
And God granted him so much more because he came after that thing. That was like that seek ye first the kingdom of God thing. He wanted wisdom so he could judge between the judge the people and all those things. So he had wisdom. And because of that, God gave him the riches and all the other stuff.
Yes.
That right there proves Matthew 6:33.
Yeah, because remember Job, Elder, after all he went through, because he trusted God and endured, remember he got double?
He got double. Job got double for his trouble. And right now we in the year for double, they say. But
what
we're saying is because Job went through all that stuff. So that's what I'm saying. Life happens. Life happens to the good people. Life happens to the bad people. Life just happens to everybody. And so, but because that life happens, that don't mean that we got to start getting out of fellowship with God. We got to stay focused. Job didn't understand the situation, but he stayed focused. But he kept his focus. He kept saying, he said, even with food, he said, I need the word of God more than my necessary food.
Yes.
He trusted God. And then when he even got a little off, God put him in place. He said, where was you when I created the created created the world. Where were you at? He put him in place. But Job, his friends wasn't on his side. His wife wasn't on his side. You know, they had all went on their own way trying to talk about, well, Job, it's your fault, your fault. Job said, I haven't done nothing. It was just life happening. And there was a whole lot of life happening because he lost all his kids in that situation.
But God knew he could trust him. And that's what we want to get to, where God knows.
God
knows. That he can trust us, that he can trust me, but whatever faces me, that he can trust me, that I won't give in and surrender to whatever the enemy is throwing my way or whatever he's allowed the enemy to throw my way, whatever we're facing. God want to know, can he trust us? Because if when he sees he can trust us, he'll bless us just the way he did Job. He'll give us double. And if we want double in 2020, we got to get in position. We're in the right month to do it. We're at the right time and this season. We're at the right day to do it. On Sunday, right now is the right time to make up our mind and stay steady, rock steady, or stand still, and watch God work. If we do what we need to do and trust and don't lean to our own understanding, but hold on to the plow when it feel like we want to give in or give up. If we hold on, we shall reap if we don't faint. And he's got much in store for us in this year, because many people that's listening or will listen later, there's things that's on the table before the Lord, petitions before the Lord. He heard us the first time. So now we need to trust him and wait on him, because knowing that he knows when to give it to us, because sometimes we're not ready to receive. We think we are. That's when we lean into our own understanding. But when we're trusting him, he knows the way that we take. He knows what we can endure, and he knows exactly what we can handle. So if we just trust him and walk with him every day, trust him at all times, in all things, about everything, watch him work and see how things are turning around in our lives.
Exactly. Yes, they will begin to turn around. Thank you, Lord. I want to make this offer. If there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, if you would pray this prayer with me, have an opportunity to give your life to the Lord and begin. This is the initiation of trusting him. When you give your life to him, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and life. And I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer with us, that you've given your life over to the Lord, and you are welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. The angels are throwing a party on your behalf because you have come into the fellowship with God. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church in your area and begin to fellowship and begin to go and join the church and be a part of the ministry so that you can continue to grow and you'll get stronger. So we thank God for that. We're going to pray. And Elder Timberlake, will you go ahead and pray us out? Because we got 19 seconds.
God, we thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you for this opportunity to give you honor and to give you praise and to dwell into your word to the very depths of what you're telling us to help us to be better prepared for 2020. We're looking for you to do exceeding abundantly things in our lives. And we just thank you as we build our trust in you and we get out of the way to allow you to move on our behalf. God, I pray that you touch everyone that was listening, everyone that will be listening later. And we thank you for those that gave their lives to the Lord. And God, we pray that we all have a blessed week on this week coming, that you would cover us, that you would shield us, and that you would protect us and be our reward and be our buckler. In the name of Jesus, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. You thank God. Bless you, Elder Timberlake. Thank God for each and every one of you. We'll join you back here next week on the Pastor and Souls broadcast, where we're going to continue to talk about trust, because we're not done yet. We're going to be talking about the 38-fold trust of David. That's in Psalm 31. We're going to talk about that and break that down. and then we're going to talk about some people that prayed and, you know, they didn't trust God to do what they got in the way. So we're going to talk about all that. Anyway, God bless each and every one of you. We look forward to seeing you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls Podcast. God bless you.
Bye-bye.